Up Nation? My name is Anthony Delgado. And today we have a freaking dope guest. I connected with this gentleman last year at this big influencer conference. And his name is Anthony Santiago. He is an Instagram marketing expert and influencer. Anthony started Rutgers as a pre-med student. And he, in trying to create an outlet for his passion for art, created the Instagram handle art_daily and grew it to over 1 million followers. After graduating from Rutgers, he got an opportunity to help Gary Vaynerchuk grow his personal brand account and his social media influencer network on Instagram. After working at Vayner for 8 months, Anthony decided it was time to pursue his passions and of being an entrepreneur and take on social media marketing full-time. He now makes a majority of his income through Instagram marketing campaigns, consulting, and account growth management. His personal brand, LLC, is Against the Standard, and he is also a co-founder of a startup media company, Stop Scrolling Media. His Instagram network totals over 6 million followers, and he managed other accounts of various sizes from niches such as art, fitness, food, and more. My good friend, Anthony, at Anthony with two Y's, my man. Thank you for being on the show, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on the show. How you doing?
For sure, for sure. Just living the dream, man. So, like, before we started recording, I was talking about, like, we're out here in Puerto Rico, right? Like, Wi-Fi and the dream. And, like, through Wi-Fi, through the internet, it doesn't matter that I'm on an island 1,600 miles away. Like, we're able to connect, right? So, let's talk about, like, using Instagram. Who are some of the people that you've been able to connect with on, like, a global scale?
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Like, the whole after working for Gary, being able to connect with people in person and then maintain that relationship over, the Instagram, I feel is like the best part. So, like, I've met people at these events that you go to, right? And then the best part is that you get to use Instagram to kind of stay in touch with them. So, like, people like, you know, Casey Adams, you know, is now a close friend of mine. Brody Kern, you know, Daniel, he was just out there in Puerto Rico speaking at your event. I just saw him yesterday at Breakthrough. So kind of like that, you know, being able to, you know, get your name out there as well as not only at these events, but then have that, you know, connection maintained through just social media. You don't have to, you know, see them on a daily basis.
No, yeah, definitely. And like, I always try to connect with people on social media because, you know, you forget to send that text. You forget to give them that call and say, hey, what's up? How are you doing? But through, you know, Instagram stories and through the posts, and people can kind of, you feel like you're connected to a human. Mm-hmm. I just had this happen to me the other day. I connected with a girl here in Puerto Rico, and then we went to eat like the next day, and she showed up and she's like, I saw that you guys were here. I live up the street and I wanted to come say hi to you guys. Yeah, so I don't know, just off of social, she was able to like reconnect with us. And it's like, if not, maybe you don't see that person for like another year, you know?
Right, exactly.
So tell us about in the very, very beginning, before you started working with Gary Vaynerchuk, before you were able to grow all these huge accounts, your first account, how were you able to grow it? And what was your passion inspiration for getting into it?
Yeah, so throughout high school, I grew up liking various stuff. I kind of like tried everything, really, growing up. So throughout high school, I kind of like developed a passion for art and drawing. That was like the only thing, that was like the number one elective that I took every single year. Like I knew like one of my classes was going to be drawing. So I really liked that. And then Instagram came out and it kind of gave me a platform to showcase it. Like, so it was interesting how right when it came out, I was just, you know, getting into drawing, and then it made something for me to, you know, put online, which is cool. And it was like a new thing. So that's where the whole me getting on Instagram happened, and then me starting to post my own art. And where the whole growing accounts thing happened was I went to college. I was, you know, quote unquote, like good at school. So I didn't really have a plan other than, you know, what my parents told me. I was going to be a tattoo artist. That's what I thought. That was my, because I was good at drawing. So I was like, yo, tattoo artist, that sounds awesome. I also like tattoos. So it kind of made sense. But my mom was like, no way, you're not being a tattoo artist. Get out of here. You know, you know. So I went to Rutgers, and with the pre-med route, with the biology degree, and then I minored in art. So it was like I got the best of both worlds, right? Like I could do what my mom wanted and pursue, you know, becoming a doctor, which was cool, you know. Like I didn't think that that was not a good path, and I was interested in biology. I was good in science in school, so it made sense. So I ran with it, and I was, you know, doing all this stuff for school, and I started having so much work to do when I got at school that I didn't have time to draw anymore. So I had to fuel that passion for art some way. And I had already started accumulating followers on Instagram just through my drawings. So I started with like the growth hacking stuff, like just liking, I started with just liking on the hashtags for my personal account when I was doing just, you know, posting my own stuff. Cause that was really the only way that I thought. I didn't want to follow people. I didn't really have the time for that and I didn't really think that that was like a good idea, cause I didn't want to be the guy who like followed 1,000 people. Right. It didn't really, I understood that that kind of didn't make you look good. So I understood that at like a early stage, and then it was able to like, okay, so now let me not worry about myself, let me change this into an account where like I could just curate people that I like, because I like art, and it was kind of a fun thing for me. It wasn't never like, oh, I'm gonna build this huge art brand and I'm gonna like, you know, take over Instagram kind of thing. Like it was more so like I just thought it was a cool idea to. I had no other choice. I couldn't draw anymore because I was, you know, just busy being a college kid, and just getting, you know, in tune with, you know, living at college and stuff. Freshman year is like the craziest year, so that's kind of what my strategy was. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna start posting other people, and then occasionally I'm gonna hop on a hashtag and just like a bunch of photos. So that was what I did and I just thought that was common sense, right? Like how else are people going to find me if I don't like engage with them? Cause you know, why would they come to me? So I got a good at, that, you know, kind of spoke to what I was doing. It was like Sketch Daily at the time. If you go to Sketch Daily, hashtag Sketch _ Daily on Instagram, has like over 1.8 million like posts to use on it because of how long it's been running. Because that was the thing. I was like, okay, use this hashtag if you want a feature. And that's how it started. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so use this so I can I can find you guys as well. So like, if you want to keep using this and like, I'll keep posting you, just use this hashtag so I can have like a collection of, you know, art to look through. And that's kind of how it started. And I kind of ran with that and just kept doing that. And then I was like, you know what, because I'm not personally no longer attached to this Instagram account, I'm just going to like follow everyone. So I followed everyone. I literally followed like, I think up to like 7,000 people at one point. And then I had gotten to like 15,000 followers just by doing that. I don't know, literally like for like 6 months. I did this every day for like 6 months just to get to that like around 10 to 15K mark. I didn't care about how many people I was following because I knew I was just going to unfollow all of them. That was, you know, like I knew that was the goal, to get to a point where I felt like, okay, I can unfollow all these people, keep doing what I'm doing, and maintain enough so that I have, you know, that K next to my name and following like 10 people. So I look famous, right? That was literally the goal. That was the only thing that I worried about in the beginning, was get that, you know, make my account look like you should follow it and I don't have to follow you back anymore.
For sure. And so, yeah. So it started out personal, right? It started out personal. Your own sketches in the beginning.
Yeah, my own sketches. Yeah, exactly. It was like a fun thing. Like I was just like, I want to have my own personal Instagram, and then I want to also be able to do this. And at first, I was doing it on my personal Instagram, and then I was like, I need to be able to switch it up. So like, if you go on my personal Instagram, you'll see like a lot of there's a lot of posts towards the early part that are just drawings. Because that's all I did. I was just posting. I was using my personal Instagram as like just like an art Instagram. And so then I made that switch. And then it was easy for me to be like, okay, now I don't care about like, I could do whatever. I'm just going to just test out shit on this account and see what works, right? And then that's kind of how, like, the growth hacking mentality, like, came about. But, like, I wasn't even really thinking, like, yo, I'm growth hacking my account right now. I'm just, like, I'm just trying to, you know, like, it was weird. Now it's
labeled. It was like a hobby.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's, like, now it's, like, labeled as, like, yo, he was a growth hacker. He's been, you know, but I was just doing this for fun. Like, it was just something that I honestly thought was a cool thing to do. Wow, like, it just came out. It was brand new. Like, it's kind of just what you're supposed to do with it.
Definitely. So you grew the account, right? Like you said, it was a hobby. You're still going to school. And then when's the first time you made a dollar from social media? Was it working with Gary or was it before that?
No, well before that. So I actually was making a solid amount of money all throughout college. So, like, I actually monetized the account at around, like, 25,000 followers. I started charging, like, $5 to $10 for a post. Because, you know, like, I was getting, like, a solid, like, 2,000 to 3,000 likes on everything at this point. So, like, it was – and this was the time of Instagram where if you followed me, you saw all my posts, right? You know, this was not the – right, like, chronological order, that whole thing was still in play. So I was getting good engagement at, like, that, like, you know, now it's all screwy, but, you know, it's honestly bullshit. But I was getting good engagement, so, like, people were actually paying because they were getting followers from it. And I was doing this whole hashtag sketch daily thing, throwing it on every single caption. It was kind of creating, like, a movement, and then I saw other people doing it too. Right. So then I was like, okay, now I can leverage other people's working along with me. So now it's not just me. Now we're creating, like, this whole Instagram art movement at once, because now I'm starting to work with other accounts who have followings as well. We're doing this right as Instagram's trying to optimize people getting on and, like, finding new people. So the explore feed comes out and it makes things easy, you know. Photos of you are, you know, become a thing, and the whole thing just changes where it's like, okay, now people who are, you know, curating content are able to find, you know, people who are curating content are able to find people who want to find accounts who are just niche accounts, and so they don't have to feel like they need to follow everyone in the world, right? If you like art, it's 10 times easier to follow 10 art accounts than it is to follow 100 of your favorite artists, you know, even like 1,000, right? There could be so many artists. It's 10 times easier to follow, you know, like all of the art niche pages than all of the artists themselves. Obviously you have a few favorite that you'll follow, but, you know, if you really like art, you want to get everything, not just like a few things.
Yeah, and you want to get introduced to new artists that you didn't even know existed.
Exactly. So it was like, it was like marketing before, like, it was marketing on Instagram before it really became like a thing, because curated content was such a new aspect and there were only a few people doing it. So it was like almost like just like a race to, like, all right, how big can you build an account? That's when shout out for shout out started happening. The likes and likes, comments for comments kind of stuff started happening. And then that's kind of how I just ran with that one account for 4 years almost throughout college. And then I was making, you know, I got offered somewhere in between college, like junior year, I think it was 2016, I got offered like $150,000 for my account. And I just turned it down. I was like, if someone was willing to offer me $150,000 for an Instagram account, they think they could definitely do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, run with it. And I kept growing it. And I got out of college and I really was like, okay, I'm not going to med school. I knew halfway throughout college, I was like, not for me. I told my parents, listen, like, they didn't really give me like shit per se, because like I was making money. I was like, you know, doing well in school. I wasn't flunking any of my stuff. I had done really well the first 2 years because I thought I was going to med school. So I was actually like on my grades. So I got my GPA to a point where I was like, okay, I got to just like maintain this and I can literally just have a fun time. I enjoyed my last 2 years of college and I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep growing this social media stuff. And then once I'm out, I'm just going to figure it out. I was just like, I know this social media stuff. I had it, you know, like I knew this social media stuff was going to be the thing. So I was like, I have a jump start, like, kind of. So I'm going to figure it out when I get out. And that's what I did. I was only like 2 months out of school, and then I saw the story on Gary's Instagram account where he was like, I need help with Instagram media accounts. If you're good at growing Instagram pages, like swipe up and apply. I literally swiped up to the Instagram account and I was working there like 3 weeks later.
Wow, that's amazing. And so day one with Gary, or I guess even before you got there, like what was that process like?
So it wasn't really, it was pretty easy. I talked to Elliot via like a video chat at Elliot on Instagram. He created Dunk. And then I talked to him. He okayed me. And then I talked to Andy. And then after I talked to Andy, he was like, cool, yeah, when can you start? So then I started, I was like, oh, I'm ready to start now. I'm not doing anything. Like, I was kind of just like, this is crazy. Like, I had been following Gary for like 2 years now. He was kind of the reason why I was like, yo, fuck this med school stuff. I'm not doing this stuff. I'd rather do my own stuff. So he was kind of like the reason why I saw his like college video. He's like, you're mad young. You don't have to figure it out right now. So I was like, okay, word. And I was doing the Instagram stuff. So I was like, okay, you know, like I like it. So it was crazy that I like actually got that offer. And I remember that day that I got the email back, I was like, yo, this is literally like, I knew it was like definitely like a life changing like moment. Cause I was like, if I get to work for this dude, and I knew that he was going to blow up. I knew he was going to, he had like 2 million followers, but I had been following him well before he had a million. So yeah. I was, you know, he's doing the right stuff and he's going to blow up. So I was souped. And first day it was like, it was crazy. I was like, I'm getting paid, you know, the pay wasn't crazy. Obviously it was like $15 an hour. It was low pay. And I was kind of breaking even in terms of like how many, it was like full 13 hour days every day for
yeah,
like
by the time you go into the city and
two trains into the city every day, two trains back for 8 months. And it was fun, but like that commute definitely takes its toll on you if you're not in the city
for sure.
Yeah, but so it was awesome. I was like, I get paid to grow Instagram accounts for Gary Vaynerchuk in the city. The office is insane. So I was like, this is amazing. I was super happy. And then, you know, the experience itself was great. I was loving it. I was meeting new people. I was like learning a lot. And then it kind of like started like stagnate out. I started, you know, they need help in different areas, obviously. So they started throwing me on like different stuff. And it wasn't that like I wasn't liking it. It's just like I started feeling like an employee and like an actual intern, right? And like I'm like, it's not like I didn't like, I wasn't like grateful for it. I was just like, this is not like what I'm like. It's not, I'm an awful employee, you know, like I've always just I'm an awful employee. I always just done my own thing. So I've always been kind of entrepreneurial too, you know, like I unfortunately, you know, sold weed throughout high school and started flipping shoes. It like went from that to flipping shoes because I knew I didn't want to get in trouble. So I started flipping shoes and then went from flipping shoes to this Instagram stuff. So I never really had a job. I think I worked at Subway for like 2 weeks and then I was like, not for me. And
yeah, that's the same thing with me. I worked at McDonald's for 2 weeks and I took the money and I bought some weed. I started selling weed when I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is not for me. And then I started feeling that way at Gary's, just because like towards the end, he had me like, you know, responding to comments and stuff and like responding to tweets and being more of like a community manager and less of like, you know, like, let me try stuff out on Instagram, see what works. You're kind of telling me what to do. And I'm kind of the dude who knows what, like, I have a million followers and, you know, like technically no one knows me, but I still have a million followers on Instagram. I'm still one of the, you know, how I see is like there are 500 million accounts on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
There's like 1% of the entire people on Instagram who have multiple accounts with over a million followers. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you're telling me what to do, but you know, you want me to get you results, but you're not letting me do what I want. So it was kind of like, all right, now I'm kind of not really into this. And at the same time, I'm trying to build my own Instagram network at the same time. So it's like I'm trying to juggle two, you know, very heavy weights, and it just got to the point where like Andy was like, yo, listen, you know, we're kind of going to like let you go because we know that you're kind of not fully in this and we can get someone who is fully in this. And I understood. I was honestly ready to go, to be perfectly honest. I probably had like 2-3 weeks there before I was going to like be like, this is not for me anymore. But yeah, so I was ready to go. And then right after I left, that was like when I had my first like speaking engagement with Brian, the Dream Mastermind thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know Brian Ferrari.
Yeah, Brian Ferrari. So yeah,
that's my homie.
Yeah, yeah, he's a homie. I literally stayed at his the other week in January.
Word.
For 10X when we went to 10X with Grant Cardone. So yeah, I went to that first event, and then that's when I started getting into really like this whole entrepreneurship. I was like, oh, I was already in it, but I didn't even really know. Like, that's a funny thing, right? You know, like this whole time, you know, like I've kind of been like an entrepreneur, like my whole life, like low key, but no one really ever, I always just thought it as like hustling and just making money, right?
Doing what I got to do to survive type of
thing. Right, exactly. Like I knew like I wasn't going to be getting money for what I wanted to do in high school. So I'm like, I got to do it myself. So that's kind of like, but you know, people start labeling everything you do nowadays. So it's just interesting how it came from me also liking just social media and using like it as a way to distribute art, and then having it become like, yo, now I'm this social media Instagram expert kind of thing. You know, it's just very interesting how it's been like 6 years now. So it's been a long time since I started that Instagram account, how it's played out. It's been interesting to see it too.
Now, yeah. It's the same thing with me. I mean, I was behind the scenes for like the last 10 years, like eBay. Like I was doing eBay when it shit first came out. Same thing with Amazon. And now I see all these dudes like, yo, I'm the Amazon guru. Yo, how long you been doing it? Oh, 6 months. And like, the funny thing is my mom actually does Amazon. So she's been doing that shit the whole time. Like I did it in the beginning. Then I got tired. I moved on to different stuff. But she's been doing it for the last 10, 15, 20 years. And she's like, I see these idiots, they're taking screenshots. He's like, if I woke up and my screenshot looked like that, I'd kill myself. But they're selling a course. They're selling a course to show you how to do it, right? And they're like, oh, I made $1,000. And she's like, bro, if I woke up and my Amazon results look like that, I'd have to go get a job. Like, you know, so it's funny. I feel like a lot of times the people that do the most hardest work are the quietest ones, because they're in the background. They're actually doing the work, right?
Like, I didn't even really tell people about my Instagram stuff until my friends didn't, my closest friends didn't even know about it until I had, like, after, like, 20, 30,000 followers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't like, yo, guys, I'm going to start this art Instagram page. It's going to be dope, and people are going to follow it and shit. Like, that was never the thing. It was kind of just like, yo, I had this idea. I ran with it, and then I was like, I'd rather be like, yo, look at this, than like, yo, I'm going to do this. And yeah, but even to this point, right? Like even all right. So my friends knew about it. It's kind of cool because they've seen it grow, and myself, like, you know, like as it's been for the years, cause they saw it when it was still like on the ground level. But even still now, I'm kind of still getting just like credit for it now. And I've been doing this stuff for like 5 years. Like I've had 1 million followers now for like 2-3 years. You know, and people are kind of just now saying like, oh, he's good at Instagram. You know, it's also kind of my fault because I was in college, right? I was like still trying to figure it out. I didn't even really know what, like I knew that social media was going to be like a thing, but I was still trying to figure out getting out of college, you know, and the whole Gary thing happened mad quick. So I was kind of just like thrown into that. Like, and then that was like an 8-month thing. So yeah, it's coming up on a year right now since I've been out of Gary. In April, it'll be a year. So it's definitely been interesting. Yeah.
That's dope. And so what do you think is one of the biggest mistakes you see people jumping in trying to grow accounts right now?
Yo, not being patient, and literally like, that's it. Not being patient and not posting enough. Like, you really gotta be posting 2-3 times a day. Personal accounts are different. Personal accounts are a little different. And personal accounts, I would say, start with just one a day. Most people can't get one a day. So start with one a day, and then, you know, as you start getting followers and your followers start getting used to seeing you, then, you know, you can increase. But definitely just the patience part. They think that they're going to grow like to like 10,000 followers in like a week if they just start doing this today.
Right. Sure, I bought a course for $7. That's what it said it was gonna
be. Yeah, no, exactly. But the thing is that
10K in 10 days? No, that's not a thing.
No, that's the thing, man. I see these YouTube videos, 10K in 24 hours and stuff. Like, you could get 10K in 24 hours if you're already an account. I don't, you know, that's what I don't even really watch the videos. I don't even care to see what they do to get 10K followers in 10 hours. Like, because I know for a fact it's not legit. Like, you can get 10K followers if you're running like giveaways and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, there's ways to buy your way 10K followers in 24 hours. But like legit, like organic, unless you're posting every single day in like your niche and something happens where like your account like goes on Explore, or like you get reposted by someone, you're really not seeing that type of boost in a day.
So on that topic, what's your thoughts on like engagement groups? Because that's been a topic for the last year or two.
Right. So I use engagement groups, right? So this is exactly what I use it to like, I use like engagement groups on steroids, and that's just because the accounts that are in them are very large accounts. We're all like million follower accounts. So it's not really like an engagement group also. It's like, we're all just on DMs at the same time, and we kind of just send each other messages at the same time. Some are groups, some are like, you know, I'm just sending a one-off message to one account asking them for likes. So it's kind of just like, who are you connected with on Instagram that is also doing this kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not, people labeled it as engagement groups because originally they were like engagement groups. They were like located on Kick, and now, you know, some are now on Telegram and stuff like that. But it's how it works. How it started, even in the beginning when I started following, we were just leveraging other people's following to boost our posts to go onto the Explore page. That was literally the only game on Instagram that I play. I don't really use, like, I'm testing like the whole like you know, pods and stuff, and like sending like power likes from other, you know, engagement services onto like test accounts, but my big ones are all organically grown with $0 through the Explore page. I don't run Instagram ads, I don't do any of that stuff. I started all of my new accounts off of starting a brand new account and driving engagement from a million follower account to the new account.
Got it. So now that you have these larger accounts, now you're feeding the new ones when they come out.
It's easy. Right. Exactly. But that's why now I can say like I'm a growth hacker, because like when I was growing the one account, I wouldn't say I was a growth hacker. Like, yes, technically I was, but I was still like, I was doing the same thing every day. It was literally just like, I figured out something that worked and I did it every single day. Like, growth hacker is kind of like, I feel like you got like codes and stuff and you're running like softwares. Like, growth hacker makes me think like I'm like good at coding, and I'm not good at coding at all. Like, not good at coding in any way. So it's kind of just like, I figured out how Instagram's worked in terms of the algorithm, and that's all I did. And it just worked real well. I just did it every day.
What do you think about, like, you mentioned like bots and stuff like that. Like, what do you think about anyone that's using a bot, whether they coded it themselves or not?
My thoughts on this, like, in terms of like also like sending likes to your account that are technically not fake, but the account owner isn't really liking your photo. It's kind of just like,
yeah, you know, it's like auto likes, right? Like,
yeah, auto likes. They're signed up to a service that sends out likes for everyone if you're signed up to there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my thoughts on that is like, it's okay to use if you are transparent that you're using it. Right? Like, you know, like how Instagram, and this is with anything, there are going to be, you know, services, hacks, you know, services that are going to boost, you know, I offer a growth service, right? Like I offer this stuff actually as services. Like we have like our own engagement type service. And then we also have our own growth service. But the growth service is like different. Like we use messaging, DM messaging to tell people to follow you. And the engagement stuff is literally just like, right, like just we said, we take all their accounts and then we send out likes to other accounts when they post. As long as you're transparent that you're using them and that you're trying to just like growth hack your account, and you're just like, because they're available for a reason. You know, it's going to happen with anything. You know, there are ways to, you know, hack your SEO so that you can, you know, rank higher on Google. There's a bunch of stuff like that. It's with any platform, there's going to be people who are trying to, you know, optimize it. So as long as that you're using them and you're transparent with you're using them and you're not like, yo, these are all, you know, like don't be like going to like companies saying like, yo, look how great my engagement is, when you know like a majority of those likes are sent from you paying a service to send them, and then like the comments are fake too, right? Like when you start using it to brand yourself as like, yo, I'm this figure, look at all my engagement, when it's all like actually fake, then it becomes a problem.
For sure. What do you think about brand deals? Like a dude that like, he never used Gillette razors, and then all of a sudden he's on Instagram like, oh, my Gillette razor or my Dove body wash or lotion or all those types of, you know, influencer brand deals. Do you think for a personal brand that's good, or does that like dilute someone's brand?
It definitely dilutes your brand. You almost kind of sell out, but it's the same thing as commercials, right? You know, like you don't really see anyone getting mad at someone when you see them on a commercial on TV, right? So it's kind of like what I said with the platform, it's going to happen. It's going to get desensitized to the audience once it happens enough. So it's just introducing them, understand that there's going to be some backlash, and then they're just going to accept it. Right. You know, because no one's going to call someone being a sellout if they're on a commercial. Well, you know, unless it's a shitty brand, right? Like you don't want to, that's also the thing with brand deals. You got to be really, you know, sure about the brand. That's the only thing I would say on that, you know, because like you don't want to attach yourself like, you know, fuck Jerry. Fuck Jerry. Jerry Media almost like got themselves screwed by dealing with that Fyre Festival stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, right. You got to be careful with what brands you're associating with. That's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, for sure. So right now, let's talk about what your business is now. Mm-hmm. How do you monetize now? And what are some of the services that you offer? And let's talk about that.
Yeah, so right now I'm monetized mainly through Instagram ads and promotions, campaigns, whether it's for apps, artists themselves, you know, because I own some art pages. So artists, you know, are consistently buying, you know, shout outs, because artists are always looking for exposure, right? Everyone wants to be the next big artist. So that's why that's kind of worked out for me in terms of the monetization route, because there are always starving artists. They're doing anything for a little attention,
a little publicity, for sure.
But a little publicity. So that's why that's kind of worked out. And then the app stuff is good because, you know, I get to charge more. I take my rates back a little bit for the artists because I understand, you know, like they're people, most of the time they're people who don't have a lot of money. But then also now I'm coming out with more stuff. Like I have a nutrition page. I'm going to come out with diet plans. I'm working on like a diet plan platform. Nice. Yeah, so personalized nutrition plans, because I have so many people, you know, constantly hitting me up. Do you have diet plans? What should I be ordering? Like, you know, I need a grocery shopping list. Give me some type of advice. So that's kind of like a no-brainer. And then for this restaurant stuff, I'm trying to do more like a show. I own at restaurants on Instagram. So we think we're trying to do something like almost like a food network on Instagram kind of deal. Just go into restaurants, you know, the best restaurants around the country, and, you know, give them content and then publicity on Instagram.
Nice. That's awesome. Yep. What do you think? You mentioned fitness, and it kind of made me think a little bit about like social media anxiety, right? Like, in this new world, you know, people, they define their self-worth by how many likes or followers or comments they have. I have a lot of my female friends, you know, shout out to like Teddy Thomas and a lot of the other females in the Disrupt Nation, where like they feel like objectified. They're like female bosses, but then if they go to the beach, especially a lot of them came to Puerto Rico, so they're taking pictures on the beach, all of a sudden they're getting objectified. They have people hating on them in the comments, right? And there's this new form of like harassment, social media anxiety, right? So how do you think people could deal with like depression and stuff like that that gets caused by social media?
I think, well, for one, get like talk to someone about it. I think that's the number one. It's just being like, you know, open with that you have that problem. And I think that's the biggest place that you could start. Because once you accept that you have this problem and that you're looking at other people for like validation for yourself, then you can actually like start tackling like the root of the problem, right? It's, you can't really tackle the root of the problem without accepting that you have a problem. So just becoming open that, you know, you're using social media in a way that you think is harming to yourself, right? Because some people don't think that social media is bad for them. And it's you know, it has to, once that you start having the thoughts that, you know, like social media is harming, you know, once you think it's taking back from something, that's when you start, start having the conversation with someone like, yo, dude, I can't get off looking at this dude's Instagram, like, what's wrong with me? But then, like, after that, I would say just understand that, like, people are not showing you their real life. Like, that's, like, you, what the number one thing that people on Instagram have to, like, when they're looking at other people. That's why I like also the niche page thing, because, like, you're just providing entertainment in most sense. When the people, influencers, and you're like kind of like getting caught up and following this dude's life, then it's like, you know, that's not his real life. He's showing you what he wants his life to seem like. And that's like, I feel like the biggest problem with Instagram. People don't understand this is not reality. Like, Instagram is, you know, that's why I like people who are mad vulnerable on Instagram, because it's like, that's what's like legit. You know, people don't put up like their failures on Instagram. When, you know, I had a good friend like just tell me about like a lawsuit that happened about his company or whatever, and I didn't know about it at all. But like, but that's the thing, you know, like, he's not gonna tell me, he's not gonna go out of my way, and then he's not gonna post it on social media. But you know, like, those are the stuff that people don't post on social media. When their company, you know, has like a lawsuit or something, they're going through, you know, a period where like, yo, they just had a month where they went negative or something like that. No one really talks about that. Or when their company starts to like stagnate, or, you know, God forbid, you know, go down and they're not getting sales anymore. No one really talks about that stuff. So really, like, understand that everyone's life is not as good as it is. And really, if people's lives are that good, they're not posting on social media because they're enjoying life. You know, that's the crazy part. Also, the people who are really enjoying life are not posting it on social media because they don't give a fuck about social media. They're enjoying life. They understand that social media does not mean life. Their likes is not pertain, like, it does not, it's not connected to their actual happiness. Happiness happens in life doing stuff, not staring at your Instagram feed and seeing how many likes you get within 10 minutes.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, so I moved down here to Puerto Rico, and there's this tax law called Act 20, Act 22. If you move down here, there's like no taxes. So because of that, there's tons of millionaires and even billionaires that I've been able to meet from living down here. And no,
Jason Capital, he was just saying.
Yeah. So I met a guy who's a billionaire. He just sold his company for $750 million, and he's had companies his whole life. And I was like, bro, what's your Instagram? Oh, I don't have that. Oh, yo, what's your Facebook? Oh, I don't have that. Yeah. I was like, yo, my man has nothing.
There are so many people like that who you can meet. Like, I was actually, my friend was just telling me he lives in Miami now, right? So there are obviously millionaires who live in Miami. And he was like, I was talking to this guy, he was wearing like a Super Bowl ring, and he was like, I recognize the ring. He was a real tall guy. He was like, yo, when'd you play? And he was like, I'm not a player, I'm an owner. And he was like, oh, you know, like, what's your Instagram? He's like, bro, I have an Instagram, but I got like 500 followers. Like, no one really knows me on Instagram. Like, you're this huge successful guy, right? You own multiple businesses. You're like a billionaire. You own part of the Dolphins or whatever the team was. And he was like, yeah, but like social media takes away from like what I do in life. Mm-hmm. You know, right? Like, it's either Instagram is helping your life and it's like, you know, feeding your business or, you know, feeding your personal brand, you know, elevating something, or it's literally just taking away time. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, it's the one or the other. There's no really middle ground. Like, there's definitely middle ground. Like, you can, you know, use Instagram for like a short escape. Like, I get that escapism kind of thing, like short entertainment. But when you start like staring at your phone for like a half an hour and then you look up and you're like, I just wasted a half an hour. I didn't even feel like a half an hour. That's when you're like, all right, word, you're literally getting locked in. That's what Instagram wants. That's literally what Facebook wants. That's why they get demonized, right? Because they want to make like the best. I get Zucks, right? He wants to make the best Instagram platform.
Well, that's how they make more money. The right, more exactly. Time you're on there, the more ads they can serve, the more money they make. It's simple.
Exactly. That's all he cares about is like, making Instagram the biggest company ever. He wants to rule the world, and he's well on his way. The only one beating him right now is honestly Jeff Bezos. So, like, it's literally Amazon, then technically Facebook. You want to throw Apple in there? Yeah, that them too. But in terms of like people utilizing something every day, like the way they use Instagram, right? Like, people's businesses. You take away someone's Instagram, I guarantee you they feel like a different person. Mm-hmm. Like, if you took an influencer, right? If you took one of these huge influencers' Instagrams away from them, what would they be like? You know, I was like, okay, now what are you going to do today?
Well, that just happened to Alex Jones. He got deplatformed. So he's like a political commentator, and they took away everything at the same time. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
He did like one video and then like it caused like a massive storm, and they took out everything. But yeah,
everything down in one swoop,
right? Like, the whole man's business is gone right now.
And to quote my homie Carlos Gill, he said, like, don't build a house on rented land. Like, at the end of the day, like, Instagram is still rented land, and like at any point it could be gone. So like, you got to get your customers off.
Exactly, that's a realization that I'm having right now, exactly what you just said, is like, okay, now you have this Instagram audience. Now get them off of Instagram so you have a business that lives off of Instagram, that's like a domain or something, you know what I mean? And then with all these client things, when you think about it too, all these client services are all based off of people needing, you know, to grow that platform and manage that platform. So once that platform goes away for anyone, all the client services go too.
Mm-hmm. Or once the algorithm changes, right? I mean, you were talking about that earlier, right? Oh, okay. I used to make $5,000 a post. Now I'm making $1,000 a post $20 a post because algorithm switched up, or people migrate to a new platform. What happens when Instagram becomes MySpace? That's going to happen. It almost happened with Snapchat. He avoided it, but there's going to be something else.
I know. So the thing is, like, because I obviously this has come up a lot with people that I've talked to, is like, yo, what happens when Instagram goes, or what happens when the next Instagram comes out? My thought on that is like, how long has Facebook been around? It's been around almost 10 years now, like 11 years now. It's almost like 11 years now. I don't even know. It might be longer than that. But whatever. Instagram has actually been out for almost 10 years now. It was in 2010 that they were made. Facebook much longer. But still, like, whenever Facebook's been around actually for like 20, 25 years, now that I'm thinking about it, because Zucks made it in like, what, 90? Like,
No, I think it was like 2004.
Okay, so 2004.
Like 15 years, like, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's a good amount of time. So that's been and it's changed so much, right? It's nowhere near what it's, so I think that unless someone like Jeff Bezos, someone comes out with something, I think the next thing that would take over something like this, unless they add it to their current like features is like VR type stuff. Because when you think about it, we're technically half, like we're half phone. Everyone's got a phone now, right? Mm-hmm. So like we technically half of ourselves is on our phone. So technically Apple could just come out with something that's like an immersive experience where like, you know, that's why I'm thinking like once that someone makes that leap into like the whole thing where like we now are in like a virtual reality type thing and you have a world that's literally virtual that you like step into kind of thing, like that 4D type world scenario. And once that's actually conceptualized, that's when I think social, like this Instagram stuff will no longer be a play. Or, right, like this will become that, right? Imagine we live in fucking Instagram. Like that's some real heady shit. But like technically, I could see that being a thing. I now refer to people as their Instagram handle. I've seen myself do it multiple times and it's kind of weird, but it's actually easier to say someone's Instagram handle and than to say their name. And you know, cause like if I said Gary V instead of Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, some people would actually know Gary V over Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, right?
Or Gary, right?
Like if I could say Gary, they'd be like, yeah, right, exactly.
Like, oh, which one?
Gary. Yeah, which Gary, right? So yeah. Gary, that's his Instagram handle. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, like, you know, like Casey Neistat, right? You're not going to just say, like.
Yeah. Is it Casey Adams or Casey Neistat? Or, like, yeah. my creative director, his name's Emmanuel or Manny, but his right. Instagram is Super Manny. I'm Super Manny because I know 20 Mannys. I'm not going to say Manny. No, his name is Super Manny.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. This is literally small, like, hints to, like, what's going to happen, right? Like, we're already technically, like, referred to as our social media online presence,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not a far leap before we start living online.
No, yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that's why Zuckerberg, he bought the glasses company, the Oculus Rift. Right. Yeah. You know, because he's already preparing for that, you know?
Right, exactly. Because that's what I'm saying. It's not where we're at right now. That's not in the far future. That's in the near future where we can make that short leap to, like, you know, everyone's online. Because half the people are staring at their phone all day anyway, right? Like, it's really not that much of a, you know, change that you have to make to, you know, make that, you know, full online immersive experience real.
Definitely.
Because that's the only thing that I think that will take away from Instagram.
Absolutely. Right now. So we're running low on time. I got like two more questions. If you were 18 and you had no money, no resources, you were starting straight from scratch and you had like 10 minutes, 5 minutes to give yourself some advice, what would you tell yourself?
Go with your gut. Go with your gut. Like, I felt like in college, I was, like, doing it for, like, when – back in college, like, when I – obviously, it worked out, right? Like, hindsight is 20/20. But I felt like I could have done something really cool if I was, like – if I did that tattoo artist. I could have probably, you know – because if I did that tattoo artist stuff at the same time as I was trying out this whole Instagram stuff, it could have worked out real well. You know, like, that's probably one of my – one regret that I would have – I would say, like, I could have done that. I think I could have made it in that tattoo space because I really do love that stuff. I love drawing, and I'm pretty good at it, too. And I had an apprenticeship, you know? Like, I was going that route. I was doing all the right things. But, you know, I listened to my parents, right? I didn't listen to myself. But I was 18, you know? You got to forget your age. Like, you got to learn to, like, trust your own intuition because sometimes your parents' intuition is not what's best for you. You know what's best for you, not – learn to, like, become self-aware of, like, what you, like, want in life.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, and have confidence in yourself. I feel like people always second-guess themselves, right?
And then they look for other people for that validation. They're like, okay, if I'm not confident in myself, let me just ask every single person what they think about this idea and let me see if they like it, and then I'll maybe do something about it.
Definitely. I love that. All right, one last question. What does disrupt mean to you?
I like that, like, that question. So it's like disrupt, I feel like, means like make a statement, right? Like, you know, you want to be like, when I think about like the New York City skyline, right? Like, you want to be that one, you know, thing that disrupts the whole skyline, right? You want to be that one that stands out. You don't want to be the person who's doing whatever everyone else is doing. You want to disrupt, make stuff, you know, make, cause a ripple effect is like what I want to say. Like, that's why I'm coming out with this course and stuff. I'm coming out with my own inner circle kind of thing, because I want to, you know, make a splash and like see what happens, you know. Like, this Instagram stuff is, I really feel like, just getting to the point of like, it's not at its peak yet. It's still, you know, optimizing every day. Instagram, Facebook is still figuring stuff out. So don't feel like, you know, you're late. Just like, get on it now.
For sure. Right? No, I love that. Yeah, there's definitely like a huge opportunity on Instagram, on social media. I feel like people are not capitalizing on it. And really, even like smaller communities, right? People think that they have to have 5 million followers just to make a splash on Instagram. Dude, if you have 1,000 followers, but they're your customers,
right?
And they're your brand, and you're using this to communicate with your brand, you could be making a lot of money by on social media, you know, than 5 million followers, but they're from Afghanistan. Like, that's not going to help you.
Exactly. No, yeah, that's also like probably like the biggest point I would want people to take away from this is like, understand that like, followers is not correlated to success. The perfect example, at Rich on Instagram, he does not care about his personal Instagram at all. He made Fashion Nova. It's literally, his Instagram is Rich. He has like 10,000 followers, but Fashion Nova literally surpassed like names like Gucci and all those, you know, Saint Laurent and all those crazy names as like the top number one fashion brand of like 2018 or whatever. And they're killing it. Everyone's repping Fashion Nova. Every single girl, freaking influencer who's
Cardi B's out there like, Fashion Nova, bitch, we out here.
Like the spokeswoman of freaking Fashion Nova. But that perfect example, that dude has like the smallest Instagram, right? You know, he's not even posting on his personal Instagram because he's out there building like a legit company, right? You know, like, I hate to say it, but Gary Vee's, like, you know, personal brand sometimes could probably take away from his client work. It definitely brings him business, but he's focused on, like, you know, multiple things. He's not, you know, super, you know, no one knew who Jeff Bezos, most people knew what Amazon was before they knew Jeff Bezos, right? You know, like, that's kind of how anything goes, right? My Instagram accounts, I'm who I am because my Instagram accounts are like big. A lot of people try to do the thing backwards. I definitely get like the document along the journey kind of thing, but it's much easier to say like, yo, look at that big ass building in the sky. That's mine. Than to be like, yo, look at this foundation for the building I'm about to build. If that makes sense. Right. You know, no one really cares when you're, you know, putting in the work and, you know, no one cared when Michael Jordan was sitting in the basketball gym by himself taking 1,000 shots. They only saw him on the court when he, you know, made that buzzer beater.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was famous for the results, right? And I feel like in this kind of like Kardashian sort of culture that we have, people on social media, they're just famous for being famous. And it was like, okay, well, what business results do you have? What are you actually doing in the world? You know?
Yeah. Also, then it's also like the things like people also get like messed up where like you can use your personal brand to then promote business, but understand that that's because you're famous that you're able to do that. You know, you don't have like, you didn't build up from scratch. Maybe you did, but like a lot of these influencers had something given to, even Gary, you know, he definitely put in mad work, but he got given, you know, like his dad had a $3 million business. As a wine business, that's something to start with. It's not like, you know, he wasn't working nowhere. His dad wasn't working, you know, he had his own business that Gary could learn from, learn to hustle, learn to grind, had a $3 million business to turn into a $50 million business. Yes, he did that himself, but he definitely had something to start with.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, and I mean, on the flip side, he also didn't start making content back then. And even the content he made was under the brand of the company. Right? So he's like, yo, I'm out here, I'm selling wine. You know what I mean? He wasn't just like, yo, look at me, like whatever.
Right, exactly.
Like, your motivational speech, whatever.
Even with VaynerMedia, he was building VaynerMedia for like 2 years before he started doing the Gary Vee thing. right? Like he says it with D-Rock. He was like, yo, I was just building this company for a couple years, and then D-Rock hit me up, was like, can I make a video for you? And then that's how the whole Gary Vee thing started. So, you know, like he even technically started with just focusing on his own, the company. You know, he didn't care about the social media stuff. He realized he could do the social media stuff because of what he was building.
Yeah, right? and even because of D-Rock, right? D-Rock came along.
Right. Yo, exactly. Man. He had someone like, okay, cool, this dude will make videos for me. All I have to do is post them.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Man. Well, brother, thank you so much for being on the show, man, dropping jewels. I got to get you down here to Puerto Rico, man. We got to get you out here for the next one, man.
Yeah, meet in person. Oh, yeah, I remember meeting you. Yo, I met you at E-Convention, right?
E-Convention last year. Yep, yep.
All right, dope.
Yeah, man. It's a small world. I'm happy that our universes got to collide and come back full circle.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
And, yeah, I got to get you to Puerto Rico, man. This is your hometown, too. This is you got family from here.
Right, facts. I definitely, within the next year or two, for sure.
It's crazy because, like, and I know we're wrapping up, but, like, Jewish people, mm-hmm. every year they plan a pilgrimage. When they turn 18, they send them to Israel. And that's, like, their birthright is that if you're Jewish and you live in the States, you live anywhere, when you're 18, you go for a summer and you go to your homeland of Israel and you get to experience that. So we want to create that for Puerto Ricans. We want to reach out to all the Puerto Ricans in the States, in New York, Cali, all around the country, and let them know that, yo, I know you were born and raised in Chicago, Southside, or you were born and raised in the Bronx, wherever you're from, but come home to the island and at least experience it and know that you have a home here.
Yeah, for sure. People always forget that, you know, it's like technically Puerto Rico is the 51st state, you know. Mm-hmm. People do forget it. But yeah, man, I'd love to come out there for sure. Thanks for having me on the podcast too.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you, man. If people want to hit you up on social media, where's the best place to do that?
At Anthony with an extra Y on Instagram. And that's basically my number one in terms of like getting to me. I'm not going to go through like the list of accounts that are on my personal Instagram, but yeah, you can just shoot me a DM and we can connect. DMs are always open.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.